I'd like to welcome today and thank you very much for being here. My name is Roberta Roth, and I am the Director for IT Policy, Planning, and Communication with the Nevada System of Higher Education, and I'm your convener for today. I know you've heard this several times today already, but as a convener, I would like to remind you to please complete an evaluation of this session. It's going to be online. The URL is on page five of your program guide. I think this is being streamed, so I'm not exactly sure of the evaluation process for those of you watching us online, but I'm sure you can find it on the website as well. The evaluation form is on the EDUCAUSE site, and they will really help both the speakers do a better job of improving their presentations, as well as really provide good feedback for our program committee to understand what's important for you for next year. Now, I am proud to introduce to you a panel of speakers from the Nevada System of Higher Education who are going to discuss how they succeeded in implementing a common identifier for the 114,000 students as they move through the 8 institutions in Nevada through their education. In Nevada, as in many places, more and more students are enrolled at multiple institutions over the course of their academic progress. And Nevada students no longer have to keep track of multiple IDs. All students, faculty, and staff have a single, unique, ENSHE ID, is the term we use. Our diverse panel here will kind of share that journey with you and hopefully give you some food for thought to take home with you. I'm going to turn the presentation over to our lead presenter, Sharon Worm, who will introduce the rest of the panel and begin the presentation.
Thanks, Roberta. Well, as Roberta mentioned, we have a really diverse panel here with some really good perspectives from across our system of higher education. I am Director of Financial Aid for the Nevada System of Higher Education in the System Administration Office. We have Ginger Holiday Houston, Project Lead for System Computing Services, which is our central IT organization. We have Steve Zydek, who is the Chief Technology Officer for Truckee Meadows Community College, or TMCC, and they're one of our pilot campuses for our ERP. And we have, last but not least, Annie McDonald, who is our Interim Project Director and Project Manager for our project, which is called Integrate. So first I'll start, yes, oh, slides. That would be helpful. There you go. Okay, again, I'm Sharon Worm, and I will discuss this from the system office perspective, specifically for the goals of the project and the background, what our challenges were, and then our opportunities for analysis and research from the data that we had never before really been able to collect in a central repository. I've been working on this project for 7 years, beginning with original RFP. We've had two, and I was originally at Truckee Meadows Community College. And I'm now the system office rep for the project, as I mentioned, for project leads group, which is part of our governance, as well as covering all of the functional areas, which are admissions, advising, records, financial aid, and student financials. We have a lot to discuss, and we really want to be mindful of your time, especially given the event right after this. So please, if you could hold your questions till the end. We're going to talk today about how ENSHE, the Nevada System of Higher Education, with the assistance of Cedar Crestone, implemented a universal student ID. This carried out our Board of Regents directive of one person ID to be used whether the person is a student, staff, faculty, or alumni that would be used at all ENSHE institutions. Realizing there's all types of methods to identify a person, when we talk about the ENSHE ID, it's a 10-digit numeric ID that's assigned when the person is entered into the PeopleSoft system. Again, so we've talked about where the Nevada System of Higher Education. We're comprised of two doctoral granting universities, a state college, 4 comprehensive community colleges, and 1 environmental research institute, all of which are governed by 1 single Board of Regents and serve over 114,000 students, as Roberta mentioned. In April of 2008, the Board of Regents approved the Integrate project, a system-wide project to coordinate our diverse information systems into a functioning unified whole. Oracle's PeopleSoft solution was selected as the ERP software, and Campus Solutions, which is the student services, student information system portion of PeopleSoft, that module was selected for the first phase of this multi-year system-wide ERP. This project began on July 7th of 2008. That was an infamous day. We will remember that as like December 7th. With a three-year implementation timeline, and we are going to hit that timeline. We have three instances, meaning institutional groups, of the student information systems application and databases. One instance for the University of Nevada, Reno, one for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and then one shared instance for the other five institutions, which encompass the four community colleges and the state college. We took a pilot and co-pilot approach. As I mentioned before, TMCC is a pilot. TMCC and UNLV are live, effective this past fall, with the other five institutions, or co-pilots, going live this coming fall of 2011. The project is expected to be completed on time and within budget, which is difficult to do, but we're here to tell you it's achievable. So this is our student services vision statement. It was created early in the project and appears as one of our guiding principles. We are implementing PeopleSoft version 9.0, which includes significant self-service capabilities and flexible configuration settings. Additionally, the purpose of this presentation, the NGID, has been implemented, and the data warehouse solution will be implemented. It's in the process. We have interfaces to third-party and NGI software that will have to share data with our, such as our current financial and human resources information systems. So how are we paying for this? We do have a certain amount of state funds and investment funds that are being used, but a key aspect of the project is student involvement, and our students have been really wonderful in supporting this. Students at each institution are significantly contributing to the funding of the project through dedicated student fees. For example, UNLV students are paying $3 per credit hour that is specifically for the Integrate project. So, one of the goals of the project was to provide a single identifier that stays with the student throughout their NGI experience. The NGI ID is issued to the student upon their first interaction with NGI, whether they're a recruit, applicant, student, or employee. This allows data to be shared across the NGI. Really, the focus has been the convenience of the student. That was the Board of Regents' original intent. They have the same ID at a community college that they would at a university within our system, and this is done by replicating their bio demo record across the three instances that I talked about earlier. This is really going to help us with easier reporting. The system can identify an individual across NGI so that retention and completions across the system are reported, not just within the institution. NGI is governed by the Board of Regents, as I stated earlier, and policies have been in place that were only mildly adhered to because of the lack of data and the lack of shared data. For instance, we have a Board of Regents policy that says if you owe money at one institution, then you are to be prohibited from enrollment at any of the other institutions. And in the past, this would require running reports or actually manually looking at the other databases, and it wasn't really feasible, so it was often ignored. Now we sync a service indicator, which is kind of a hold in other student information system language, that goes across the three instances that does carry out that Board of Regents directive. So how did the NGID challenges and opportunities? You see here Joe Smith started out with three different IDs at the three institutions that he had originally attended, and now he has been combined into one Joe Smith with one single ID. So previously we had seven different databases that we pulled into one NGI system-wide data warehouse. This required an extensive match process, as you can imagine, since a student could theoretically exist 7 different times. Often they did actually exist in at least 4 of the 7 databases. Tracking across the system was possible, but very time-consuming and somewhat limited. The student, again, student is our focus, they had to remember multiple IDs. And the Board of Regents, again, had an expectation that the student would only have to remember 1 ID. With the universal ID, again, as I mentioned, it's going to allow us to track students as they move from one institution to another or even attend multiple institutions simultaneously, which also happens frequently. We have a lot of swirling back and forth between institutions. Opportunities that this is going to provide is, as mentioned, really more extensive longitudinal data analysis. When we bring in data from K-12, for example, or the workforce, we only have to match that data to 1 student record rather than 7. And now I'm going to turn this over to Ginger.
Hi, I'm Ginger Holiday Houston, and I'm the project lead for System Computing Services. System Computing Services is the central IT organization within ENCHI, and for the Integrate project, we're responsible for data center services for all 3 of the instances, as well as application support services for the shared instance. And I'm just going to talk about some of the technical considerations for this project. As Sharon said, ENCHI decided that we needed to have 3 separate instances of the PeopleSoft Campus Solutions. And in order to manage those 3 separate instances, we have 3 separate technical teams. So that increased the challenges of implementing the ENCHI ID. Not only did we have to come up with a solution that allowed the 3 instances to talk to each other and share data, but we had to figure out how to collaborate among the 3 technical teams as well. Sorry. as we went forward to try to figure out what solution we were going to use to implement this ENCHI ID, we kept in mind some technical goals. First of all, obviously, every person would only have 1 ENCHI ID across the 3 instances. So that means you'd only create a new person in an instance if they didn't exist anywhere within ENCHI. We also wanted to synchronize biodemo data across the instances. So if you added or changed such things as name, address, SOCH, date of birth, FERPA flags, and assorted other data elements, you would do it in one place and it would sync across the other 3. An important consideration was not to inconvenience the students. So we did not want any degradation of response time that would affect the student. Another student-oriented thing is that any time there was an issue in one instance, we didn't want it to affect the student doing business in any of the other instances. So we had to balance collaboration and independence. We wanted to allow each instance to have separate outages that wouldn't affect the other instances, and we wanted to require minimal lockstepping whenever it came time to do upgrades or implement modifications in one instance. So we had to work together, but we were really after independence. We considered 3 different options. First of all, we thought about purchasing a solution. So we looked at the Oracle Constituent Data Hub. That was quite expensive, and also it really wasn't in prime time production use in higher education anywhere, so we rejected that one. We also considered adapting an identity management solution, but not all 7 institutions have identity management systems, and the ones that do, they're not the same. And we've talked about implementing a system-wide identity management solution, and we think it's a good idea, but it's a lot of work and it wasn't within the scope of this project, so we rejected that one as well. And so what we landed on is utilizing the delivered PeopleSoft messaging and enhancing it so that we could do the ENCHI ID and sync the data across. And we considered two different ways to do this. First of all, we thought about doing just another instance of the PeopleSoft Campus Solutions and kind of setting it above the other three and having that instance manage the ID and the data and then ship it down to the other three. But that had a lot of overhead, both on additional hardware, additional resources to maintain yet another instance of Campus Solutions. And I think most importantly, it kind of reduced the independence of the instances because they would all be totally dependent on that parent. So we landed on just messaging among the three. So anytime an add or a change is made in one instance to the NGID or the associated data, then that change is messaged to the other two instances. So let me give you an example of how this would work. Let's say that I'm applying to the College of Southern Nevada. CSN is in the shared instance. So I put in my application, and they do a search match and find that I didn't exist anywhere. And so they assign me an ID, update all my data, and that would trigger a message that would go to the other two instances, to the UNLV and the UNR instance. So now I exist in all three instances with all my data synced. So then some time passes, and I graduate from CSN, and I decide I'm going to go to UNLV, and I've since moved. So I put in my application for UNLV. They take my data, and they do a search match, and they find me based on name, date of birth, SOCH, and notice that I've moved. So they update my address, and that triggers a message that goes across to the shared instance and UNR. My address is updated in all three instances, and once again, I'm a person everywhere with synchronized data everywhere. Now, only two of the institutions are totally live right now, Truckee Meadows and UNLV, but when all seven are live, most likely they will ask for the NGID on their admissions application, and that'll make the search match very reliable and much more streamlined. So that example seems fairly simple, but it does require a lot of collaboration. First of all, any change that's made to the messaging, whether it's the delivered messaging or the enhanced messaging that we've added, or to any of the data elements that we're syncing across, any change to those, and everybody has to test, and sometimes we have to coordinate implementing the change. As an example, in the most recent upgrades to Campus Solutions, the bundles had changes in messaging, and so we all had to test them together and implement them together. Mod ownership is a challenge for all of our NG modifications. With three separate development teams, somebody's got to own each mod and be responsible for it, and that's true of the NG mod as well, or the NGID mod. So any change that's made, the team that owns it can't unilaterally decide to change it. They have to collaborate with the other institutions or the other instances, decide on changes, and implement them together. We also have had to write a series of quality assurance scripts. There's a lot of moving parts here, and there's a lot of ways that things can get out of sync. And especially when you're just beginning to implement it, there's surprises that come up. So these scripts are run weekly, and they point out any data that's out of sync, and then we have to figure out how to fix it. So the technical issues, they're challenging, and collaboration is a challenge as well. But really, this centers on good data, and good data starts with functional folks. So we have implemented a data task force that deals with coordinating, fixing any data issues. And Steve Zydek is going to talk about those.
There. All right. My name is Steve Zydek. I'm the campus technology officer at Truckee Meadows Community College, which has been mentioned as one of the pilot campuses. I'm here to discuss the challenges with change and compromise and all of that surrounding a universal ID in our system. Can you imagine there would be any of those change, compromise kind of issues? Okay. One of the first things that happened, and the perspective I have for this group is from a campus, and one of the first things that happened is we looked at all of our legacy data, and we had discussions to decide on how much of that would be necessary to convert. It was pretty much decided our legacy system goes back to 1990, so it has about 20 years of data in it. And we decided to convert all of the data for all of the students who had actually enrolled in classes. Any students that applied but didn't attend it, they were left out of that loop. The actual scope of this kind of project left just millions of records to be converted. And so you can kind of get an idea on how big of an issue that was. Some decisions were policy driven because in addition to converting student data, you're also converting data about your degrees and courses. And per Board of Regents policy for community colleges, that was limited to 6 years and 10 for the two universities. I keep pushing the wrong one. Data cleanup. Now, in the very beginning, one of the things that really was helpful to us was to look at it from a campus perspective. Let's clean up our campus data. And that happened with all of the campuses that had student data. So everybody just started out very early, about a year before, on cleanup activities. At the campus level, a lot of it was obvious cleanup things, like a good example would be, for example, date of birth. If all of a sudden you had a student who was only 1 year old, which happened quite a bit. We got reports and had a lot of students that were very, very young. And we also had students that were 2,000 years old and older in the data. And so some of those were obvious things, but basically all campuses were involved. We looked at as many fields as possible, so it was a pretty broad-based approach. The early cleanup efforts at the campus level involved hundreds of reports and queries to come up with working sheets that people could work off of. Obviously, key personal data that was used in the search match criteria would be the most important to clean up, primarily because we wanted it to help eliminate duplicates in the conversion process. We had a potential for lots of conflicts with students enrolled in more than one NSHE institution. So now the project is moving in scope a cleanup from that campus level activity to collaborating with one another in those institutions. Through that collaboration, we also did find there were lots of times where you had to go to source documentation, and it helped us get to the best possible source to be used for data correction. So basically, when we got to the biographic data, demo data issues, it required a high level of cooperation and commitment by all institutions to make this statewide ID work. We had to come to consensus on all bio demo issues. Agreements that the selected bio demo data remain consistent and remain synchronized in all of the issues was our first step towards this effort. Once we got some momentum going, we started creating and defining things like the minimum record that would be needed for the ability to create an account. The NSHE ID also requires that all instances must operate on compatible versions of the software for synchronization. Talking a little bit about what happens with the BioDemo record, that record is maintained at any of the institutions the student has attended or applied to. So if a student has applied to three different institutions, any of those three institutions can actually maintain that BioDemo information. Once that's in there, as has been mentioned before, it remains part of the information that exists in all of the instances. And I'm not going to read these. You can look at that list. Also, it's in the copies that you can pick up later. But it allowed us to do something like the FERPA directory release. That's a service indicator flag we store in there. So that can be changed at any of the institutions. Just a lot of things. It may actually include a photo ID at some point when we move a little further down the road. So again, we agreed that any institution in which the student has applied can change the bio demo information, but it becomes their responsibility to archive the documentation that's necessary for some of the changes. This is required in cases like if someone changes their name, social security number, or a date of birth maybe that they have on file with us. We also had to agree that documents used in verifying student data changes will be retained permanently at the initiating institution, and it will be available to any other ENSHE institution by request. So a whole bunch of sharing going on there. Policies and procedures related to biodemographical data must be managed, established, and adopted in a collaborative environment. Oops. All right, then we get to the concept of duplicates. Duplicates are the most undesirable thing we've run into in this process. No matter how much you clean up, collaborate, and build what you think are perfect search match rules, on a project of this scope, you're always going to have them. And you're probably going to have quite a bit of them. Now, a good design on search match goes a long way. And that will help ultimately reduce the number of duplicates you have. And she decided to use social security number, date of birth, and name as the search match criteria. So if all three of those match, it's a strong match. And that person, that we don't create a new ID, we say, oh, it's this same person, and they're set up with the ID that they've already got. When you do that, it gives rise to a couple of key problems that require some work and some resolution. Those being, let's suppose, a social security number and a date of birth matched, but the name didn't. And that happens a lot. That's probably one of the more common ones because people get married, change names. Maybe they applied to one school with a nickname. Maybe they applied to this school with a much more formal version of their name. In that case, we allow the institutions to allow that student who's applied to be able to enroll. However, we put them in a suspense file and place a service indicator flag on them that requires them to go then and provide proof of the correct name. Once again, once that's made, it updates in all of the databases in all three instances for all of the institutions to use. Another issue that happens quite a bit is the social security number matches only. So now I've got a bigger problem because I don't have a date of birth and a name that match. It's a little bit stranger. And that's a hard situation to look at because sometimes that could happen in your you don't know if the problem's in your legacy data with the person that got moved over or if it's this new person coming to you. So when that happens, in general, we put a hold on those students. They go into suspense. There's a hold placed on there, and both students will be required to prove or demonstrate that they have their correct social security number. Now, of course, if we can find some documentation in our legacy data, we attempt to clean that up as well. One other thing that kind of came up as a topic of discussion, very much related to this bio demo process, is the initial order of conversion. We have 7 teaching institutions, and guess what? Nobody wanted to be last. Everybody wants to be first. It's a little bit easier on you if you're the first one in. And so it got to be quite a considerable round of discussion. But in the end, I think logic ruled, and we based it on the percentage of records that had fewer date of birth or social security numbers. So the lower the percentage of errors you had in previous cleanup reports got you a higher order of conversion. This is an important area to think about because you always want to find an objective set of logic to apply in those cases. As opposed to just letting the bigger institution win, they might have the worst data and then everyone's just going to work like crazy. Basically, this collaboration required for the implementation phase and getting ready for the project, and I can speak because I've been through pretty much a year and a half of it, so It will continue into the operational phase. As we get new students applying, things like that, you still run into a lot of issues with the bio demo data and being cleaned up. So it's key to have a governance model in place that can facilitate resolving issues and providing direction. Annie McDonald is here to discuss this with you now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Annie McDonald, and I'm the interim Integrate Project Director. And in my real life, I'm the Integrate Project Manager. So I have the pleasure of telling you how we kind of strong-armed this project through, because you heard the technical parts of how we made this work, but we all know it isn't the technology or the technical people that make this happen. It's the more soft skills. So we had 7 Nevada institutions with students, and those institutions were challenged to move from diverse, autonomous implementations of student information systems to a new student system that had improved, common, and efficient business processes, data standards with common data elements, and collaborative decision-making on modifications, project governance, and decisions. Well, the only way you can do this is with consensus, trust, and really strong personal relationships. So we built this structure to make this happen with collaboration. And I have to tell you, in some cases, our institutions, this was the very first time that they had worked together. And I know that sounds hard to believe, but we had community colleges mixed with universities, mixed with a state college, in a very dispersed geographically state that they never had worked together before. So this project required that. It also meant that we had to really truly understand the differences between universities and community colleges, between pilots and co-pilots. And finally, we had to come to a genuine agreement, even though our Board of Regents had decided that we were going to do this project and we were going to have an INSHE ID, that didn't mean that the front line bought into it. So we had to come to a genuine agreement that we were going to do this. So one of our 114,000 students said it best when she said, "I'm a transfer student from the University of Nevada, Reno, and I came to Great Basin College. And I'm planning on going back to the University of Nevada, Reno, for a master's. I know that my transfer was confusing, coming back to a community college from a university. So it might be just as difficult to go from community college to a university again. It's very important for me that this might be more streamlined." So the focus of this project was and still is the student, not our institutional administrative preferences. So how do you do this? I think of it like this. If life is like a box of chocolates, then governance is like a grilled cheese sandwich. Because what you have is a slice of technical issues, a slice of business issues, and then a generous helping of politics in between those slices, and then you apply heat and pressure. So we learned very, very quickly that the needs of our system at many times conflicts with the needs of the individual institutions and vice versa. We learned that resolution of certain conflicts may need to occur at the highest level, and in this picture, it's above the dotted line. And the resolution of these conflicts probably need to happen behind closed doors. So decisions about project scope and resources, modifications, testing, and preparing the infrastructure occurred as part of our regular project activities. So our key decisions on this project were procedures and best practices, resource allocations, and Board of Regents policy decisions. The NGID is one of our 125 modifications that we are developing on this project, and we develop them once, and then we deploy them three times in order to avoid duplication of effort, or like we like to use ice cream as what we picture on this. So instead of having all these flavors of ice cream, we are vanilla. So what that means is that we have three development teams, we have three separate instances, and we have a technology administrative governance process that guides us through this effort. So NGI system-wide modifications, including our universal ID, start in the NGI environment, while instance-specific mods, so let's say for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, University of Nevada, Reno, are in their own specific instances. But if we follow system-wide standards and processes, then they can move back and forth. If a shared instance, that's our five institutions that share a single instance, have a mod that only applies to them, such as a shared admissions application, it goes right into their stack. But I have to tell you, it's happened several times now on this project where somebody developed a modification that they thought nobody else would want, and it turned out that they did. So we were able to move it. So a modification changes one or more PeopleSoft delivered objects. And a modification is required when PeopleSoft has delivered code that only partially meets our business requirements. And it needs additional changes to make it work for us. And a modification requires analysis every time the PeopleSoft code is upgraded or revised to see if those changes can be dropped, must be reapplied, must be reworked or redesigned. And for those of you who are project managers on a project like this, you know that modifications are your number one cost drivers. So on our project, we strongly encouraged and incentivized changing our business practices in lieu of making a software modification. And that's how I get my nickname of the Wicked Witch of the West. So all modifications have to be justified and approved, with the status of the modifications constantly being reported to governance bodies. And our developers must follow technical guidelines that minimize the impact of these modifications on future upgrades. So even with carefully controlled modification policies, we currently have 125 modifications on this project, of which 23 were contractually specified, and that includes the NGID modification. I think we should probably have everybody come up to answer questions, the rest of my team. And we will be posting this presentation on up on the EDUCAUSE, but also there's an Integrate website, and let me go ahead and bring that up. So there's an Integrate website. It's integrate.nevada.edu that this is up there on there, and here's all our email addresses. And of course, I know that the welcome reception happy hour is immediately following this, so if we don't get through all your questions right now, we can continue this discussion. So we're all here. Yes, Roberta. Yeah, so if you want some of those numbers and some of the information that we shared with you, that will be in our presentation. Go ahead.
Also, since it is a video feed as well, if you have questions, please use the microphone.
Yes. Thank you. Okay, let us have it.
I guess my question is, did you retain the old IDs in your database in those instances as a reference factor going backwards reference for you to be able to prove those identities were converted appropriately?
Yes, we did. In the external ID table, all the old IDs are there.
Second question. You mentioned earlier that you didn't really pursue an identity management solution. So I'm left to think that basically each of the campuses has their own, from a standpoint of accounts on systems provisioned for use by users. Those are separate and distinct identifiers that people use for logging into systems and so forth?
Well, actually, it varies with the different institutions. For instance, Truckee Meadows does have an identity management system, and so they use they have their ENCHI ID that identifies them as a person throughout ENCHI, but their login ID is their Active Directory ID that gets into all their systems.
And so those are not, you're not trying to actually combine your into a single Active Directory forest, for example, or a single LDAP, all of those identities at this point?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's a dream.
It's a goal.
Okay, that's better.
In the beginning, you guys said that you didn't want to inconvenience the students. But don't you think that if you probably would have run some kind of process for the students to come up and register themselves or, any kind of student involvement process, you could have probably done this a lot quicker and saved, a lot more money or, from a process angle?
We had a lot of student involvement in looking at the choices they were in. We actually started several years before we got to this phase by looking at what we wanted to do with the system. It involved so many campuses and so many students, it was decided the best way to go was to entertain bids from all of the ERP vendors that worked in that marketplace. Is that kind of getting at what you're...
Okay. I'd like to speak to that, too. Student involvement in this project has been critical and key. We have worked with multiple sets because, unfortunately, it's been a many-year project, multiple sets of student leadership and student focus groups. Each institution, though, has handled it a little bit differently. So the big schools have very different student participation and... what's considered an inconvenience to a student at University of Nevada, Las Vegas is very different than what's considered an inconvenience at Great Basin College. So, but student voice in this is critical.
Hi. So I guess as a kind of a starting premise for this kind of thing, what I think identity also encompasses to some degree authentication. And that kind of thing. And, you guys ran into some issues when it came to implementing a system-wide authentication. And I feel like that might have had the impact of, because I'm trying to picture the perspective of the student here and go, well, I have the same username now in eight places, or seven places, but not the same password necessarily or not the same authentication scheme. It seems like, if they're throwing student service fees or student fees into it, they might have been pushing for all of that, like one login that they can just stick a post-it on their monitor, not that they should do that, but that they, that they will anyway, And has there been a push or standardization for you guys to use a standard, even if it's not like one identity provider? Have you guys had a push to make sure that everybody's using, trying to get along the same pages on that? So.
We've had discussions, but as Ginger said, it's a dream right now. A goal. Yeah, it's a goal. One of the issues was that each institution had their own identity management into different institutional systems. So it was so 7 times 10, it was a huge, huge issue. That's why we had to go the way we did.
Okay, there's some handouts also on this table right here if you wanted to pick one of those up without the notes. And again, we will be posting the presentation with the notes. And if you'd like to ask us any more questions or extend the conversation, we're going to be at the welcome reception and would love to talk to you about it. Thank you.
Thank you.